relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
I just like the music. The professionals. Carr Firearms is fighting for America. Carr executives stand with America First. They're willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand up for liberty. Please support our new Second Amendment Friday sponsor, Carr Firearms, KAHR.com. Okay, we had a caller. I think it was it yesterday or the day before? This week has just flown by. Who called in with a refrain we've discussed before, but it was a very impassioned expression of this critique of the right, whereby he said, yeah, we've got truth on our side. We've got the facts. But what we failed to do is understand narrative to connect emotionally with an audience. To that end, an incredible story I fell upon this morning from the New York Post. We love the Post. And something called the Skeptic Research Center, never heard of them, ran a poll where they preloaded the questions in certain categories. And one of the questions was, how many people do you think were shot last year by the police who were unarmed and black? And one of the categories was 1,000 to 10,000, meaning you think it was somewhere 2,000, 5,000, maybe up to 10,000 individuals you believe were shot and unarmed and black. The result is stupendously mind-numbing. 44% of Americans think up to 10,000 unarmed black men were killed last year by police. 44% of respondents. What was the actual number? Was it 1,000? Was it 900? It was 27. 27. It's not about facts. It's about narrative, at least on the left. And we have to use the facts. We have to use the truth and connect emotionally. Somebody who knows how to communicate her love of country and fights for America every single day is Tennessee's Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator Blackburn, welcome to America First.
I am delighted to join you again. Thank you so much.
Couple of things we must discuss. First things first, what's the latest on this horrific $1.9 trillion pork-laden, quote-unquote, COVID relief bill? Is it going to pass the Senate?
Well, the behemoth is kind of sitting there. It looks like Chuck Schumer has lost control of his caucus. You know, you've got Bernie on one side. You've got the moderates on the other side. And I think they're trying to fight it out.
And is the filibuster safe? What's the latest on the filibuster as a break on all this insanity?
Well, the filibuster is still intact. And I think we're going to be able to hold that. And as you know, it is vital to our being able to protect the country from a lot of bad stuff. Things like H.R. 1 and the Equality Act and the Defund the Police bill. I have never seen so many socialistic bad ideas coming from one group of people as I have from these Democrats who are just drunk on power. They just really are continuing everything on their wish list. They're saying, let's fund it, let's do it. You know, this bill, 9% of the bill goes to COVID, 1% goes to vaccines, and we've already got another $1 trillion in the pipeline that hasn't been spent, and now they're wanting to put another $2 trillion in there. Basically, they're trying to pay off the organizations and the groups and the lobbyists that supported them in winning the House, the White House, the Senate. They are trying to pre-fund a lot of this Green New Deal and their different programs because they know they're going to lose the House and the Senate as soon as elections start happening.
Yeah, we played that cut from Speaker Gingrich yesterday where he said exactly that, Senator. He said they're doing all the insane stuff now because they know they will be trounced in the next election. She's Senator Marsha Blackburn. Follow her right now at Marsha Blackburn on Twitter and also at blackburn.senate.gov. She's on the front cover of this month's Newsmax. They've done a special, special feature interview with the senator. Senator, you have been so outspoken on the chilling, chilling hypocrisy of professional sports in America, especially the NBA, when it comes to the communist regime of China. Where does that issue stand? And is there any chance of some kind of clarity or some kind of break between American professional sports and this evil regime?
We have written to Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, asking for clarification about this deal that he has struck with China TV. You know, they booted them off of China TV last year after you had coaches that showed support for the Hong Kong Freedom Fighters. So what we want to know is, with this new deal, and bear in mind, China TV, yes, it's partly owned by Jack Ma, but it's also partly owned by the Chinese Communist Party. And they will not allow language on China TV that is going to criticize the Chinese Communist regime. So we want to know what kind of deal that has been struck. We want to know if Adam Silver has agreed to censor or block people that are NBA players, coaches, and staff. We would like to know how much money he is making from this. Is he continuing to license NBA gear that is being made there in Xinjiang province, where they have their practice facility, which also, by the way, is where the internment camps are for right. The Uyghurs, which are the Muslim minority in China. And, of course, the Chinese Communist Party uses them as slave labor in the factories, puts them in internment camps, and is trying to annihilate and eliminate that population. And we would like to know what the NBA's relationship is with the Chinese Communist Party and with Jack Ma and his son Michael.
Why is this issue of U.S. Relations, trade relations, and sports relations with China so important to you, Senator?
It's important to me because China is the greatest threat that we have right now. They are a threat with great power competition with the military. They are a threat economically. China is the largest holder of our nation's debt. They own upwards of $1 trillion of our debt. So we need to be very careful about China. We need to be unraveling this economic relationship we have had with China. And when you have an entity like the NBA that has structured a cozy deal with China TV, we need to know what's in that deal.
Lastly, we haven't spoken since President Trump gave his speech, his barn-burning speech on Sunday at CPAC. Your reaction to his speech and the future of the 45th president in conservative politics?
You know, I had a great opportunity to talk with the president on Saturday before he made that speech. And I think the president is going to be a very important voice as we move forward with the Republican Party and with our agenda. And Sebastian, I will tell you, I think one of the reasons that so many people across the country really appreciate the president is because he believed in them. He believed in them and their ability to achieve and succeed and to accomplish. And right now, as I have told the president and I've told others, there is a campaign committee of 74 million Americans who are saying, hey, we're with this guy that's out of the White House right now because he believes in us, he believes in freedom, and we are not with the guy that's in the White House right now because he has an agenda that is going to take away our freedoms, take away our choice in health care, restrict our energy choices and drive the cost up, and
I love jobs. I love that phrase. The campaign committee of 74 million Americans. That's the right way to think about it. And that's why Donald Trump isn't going anywhere. Roll on 2024. We've been talking to Senator Marsha Blackburn. God bless. This is America First.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I've just heard from our in-studio guest, 6,000 illegal aliens coming into the country every single day now under the Biden administration, many of them children. Wouldn't it be better if the coyotes, the drug smugglers, the traffickers couldn't prey on these families, that they could stay where they are and they could live decent lives? That's part of what we do with the amazing people at Food for the Poor. Every year we help them to help those who are starving. In Honduras right now, in certain rural areas, up to 48% of the children are malnourished. We are the kindest, most charitable nation on God's earth. Just please consider helping one of these children now. It's a one-time donation of $37 that will feed a girl or boy for 6 months. We have the food. It's been donated. It just has to be brought to those starving children. If you donate $111, that's 5 children in need for 6 months who will get to eat. You can make a difference. If you've survived the coronavirus, if you can afford $37, please help today. Go to our website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Food for the Poor banner. Just that phrase alone, Food for the Poor. That's what we are asked to do. Help the most vulnerable. You can call them if you want at 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673, or just go to sebgorka.com, SEBGORKA, and click on the Food for the Poor banner. Jim Carafano, Vice President of Matters National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. It's a twofer. We opened with The Boss, with K. Cole's James at the top of the show, and it's Friday. Therefore, let's continue to discuss this. You've got some amazing, amazing updates from Mark Morgan and others. Let's start with a video. She's on the border. Sarah Carter, an expert on these issues, is doing what I guess the mainstream hasn't got the time or energy to do. Video cut 5.
But I thought what was more interesting was that the children actually knew President Biden. I asked them, do you know who the president of the United States is? They said, yes, of course, it's President Biden. And they misinterpreted his stop on deportations for 100 days as being an invitation to arrive to the United States. They said that the human traffickers, the cartels, the people that were moving them into the United States basically said it was about 100 days to get here to freedom so that they, once they got here, they would have amnesty. These kids were willingly turning themselves into Border Patrol.
Why would kids from Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico know who the American president
is? First of all, don't for a second, not for a nanosecond think that this administration doesn't understand how coyotes and people will interpret their message. Like, oh, we misunderstood. They were intentionally incentivizing mass migration. The numbers that the Department of Homeland Security won't, because they're not allowed to release them, are about 6,000 a day. Estimates, 15 to 25% of those have active COVID and are bringing it into the United States.
And prior to that, just so we're clear why that number, you have to put it into context. Prior to the Biden administration, it was almost zero.
We were actually deporting more people from the United States who are entering each day. There are about 500 people in custody today. There's over 3,000 children in custody. And you know, when they talk about detention centers and custody and everything, they're not rounding them up at the border. Those are collection sites, and they are moving them as quickly as possible into the interior of the United States, putting them on planes and buses.
You said something about Greyhound.
Greyhound just came out and said, dude, we're not letting you put these people on a bus unless you can prove to me they've had a COVID test and they don't have COVID. So we are literally, as the governor of Texas is opening up his state, the president of the United States has a mass input of COVID into his state. It's insane.
Is there any way to justify this when we have the governor of California saying, you know, even if you've had the vaccine, you should be wearing two masks and COVID still has to shut down businesses? How do we justify the federal authorities, the state authorities with that attitude to COVID and then what's happening on the border?
It's maximum, you know, it's exactly the opposite. There is zero public health consideration at the border under the Biden administration. Zero. Even as they run around saying, two masks, it'll be a year, you know, just because it is unbelievably duplicitous. And they have to know what they're doing. And look, let's just walk through the evils, because people think, well, what's the big deal here? Well, look, you're going to import another million people off in the United States. We've got 6-point-something% unemployment. Every one of those people are coming here and looking for a job. You want to raise the minimum wage, and you're having all these people are coming here. They don't care about minimum wage. This is nuts. Let's look at the coyotes, because as you know, every single person that crosses the border, most of them are controlled by illegal cartels.
Smugglers, right.
Thousands of dollars per person. That's literally hundreds of thousands of dollars a day into the coffers of transnational cartels that then go and buy the ingredients for fentanyl from China and then poison your kids and kill your neighbors.
So if you are a drug smuggler, if you're a cartel baron right now,
happy days are here again. Look, right. So you have a public health crisis. You have a crime crisis. You're creating another economic crisis. And the massive, massive cost to the American taxpayer, and whether it's in schools or, you know, English as a second language or in emergency rooms or an overwhelmed group. Food pantries are overwhelmed. Helping people, and then you're dumping all these people into communities that can't take care of their own citizens.
Jim, how long have you been working in D.C.?
About 25 years now. I've been working on border stuff for 20 years.
So is there any possibility that the decision makers and the quote-unquote experts in the administration don't know any of this, what you've just said?
The head of Homeland Security was the deputy head of Homeland Security under Obama. It was his boss, Jay Johnson, who said, if 1,000 people try to cross a day, it's a crisis.
Yeah.
They're at 6 times that now. The Secretary of Homeland Security looked reporters in the eye and said, there is no crisis. The President of the United States looked a reporter in the eye on camera and said there's no crisis, even as they looked to put together a supplemental appropriation to pay for this. And the supplemental appropriation is not to pay to reseal the border because they made a big mistake. It's to help them move people into this country as quickly as possible.
It's for more of those bus tickets.
Yeah.
So they know.
Of course they know. Of course they know. And then Mayorkas had, who's the Secretary of Homeland Security, had the audacity to say, well, it's really all Trump's fault. And absolutely, we went from zero to 6,000 a day because of policies that virtually changed on day one. And these policies, they can lie to you all they want, are intentionally designed to attract illegal immigration to the United States. Even as they've broken up the relationships with Mexico and Central America, they're actually helping us.
With the one motivation eventually?
H.R. 1 says people who are not citizens can vote. An amnesty bill makes all the 14, 13, I don't know, millions of people here unlawfully, puts them in
political
the pipeline.
Political power. Political power. Coyotes are happy. More drugs. Women, young girls, endangered. Why? To get more voters. Cynical doesn't cut it. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
Carl Firearms is fighting for America. Car executives stand with America First. They're willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand up for liberty. Please support our new Second Amendment Friday sponsor, Car Arms, U.S.-made handguns. Check out their incredible selection at KAHR.com. That's KAHR.com. Back to our regular Friday, national security foreign policy expert, the vice president of the Heritage Foundation, Jim Carafano, J.J. Carafano on Twitter. Let's just finish off this incredible report from the border. Again, Sarah Carter talking about the experience of those who are being trafficked. Video cut 4.
I think the hardest part today, Sean, was running into the young children. There were children as young as 4 years old in this group. Many of them were traveling by themselves without any adults. Some of them met up with adults on the journey to the United States. All of the children that I ran into were from Honduras. They had been traveling for approximately 3 months. Many of them had spent time on top of the trains. They talked about La Bestia. It's a train that runs through Mexico that the kids jump on top of and try to make their way to the U.S.-Mexico border. They told me horror stories about children that had fallen off the train, children that disappeared while they were on the road with them.
It's just wrong. Children as young as 4 riding on the outside of a train called the Beast. I don't care who you are. It's just wrong. I wanted to talk about another topic, but doesn't it just get you angry, Jim?
Well, this is the part that we often don't talk about. It's the humanitarian crisis, right, that's caused by encouraging illegal immigrations. So they are raped, they're robbed, they're extorted, they're murdered. Sometimes they die of privation in the desert. It's a horrific experience, and it's not necessary.
Yeah, four months.
And the Biden presidency is encouraging. So here's a segue for you. So if there's two areas we would look at the Biden administration and say, oh, my God, the barn is burning down. One of them is immigration and border security. And the other one we worry a lot about
is the other one is the Middle East.
Okay.
That's the top.
Nicely done. Okay, so we talked about what the coyotes must be feeding like. Let's red cell the Middle East. What are the mullahs, what are the dictators, the theocrats in Iran thinking of the last 7 weeks?
So, and you understand this well, because you understand that it's a different culture, it's a different history, it's a different geography, and in that part of the world, honor is power. You're an honorable guy because you're a nice dude. In that region, you're an honorable guy because you have power.
Yeah.
Right? You have more cows than the other guy. You can murder somebody if they get out of line. You honor killings, right?
Face. You have respect.
Right. And so it is very, very important to look strong and for your enemy to look weak. Well, when the Biden administration walked in and said, we want to go back to the Iran deal, and they said, oh, we'll stop supporting the Saudis against
the Houthis,
who are Iranian surrogates in Yemen, and we will withdraw the snapback sanctions at the UN. The Iranians interpreted that as weakness, that, oh, the Americans want back into the deal. And so what the Iranians want to do is have the administration crawl in on their knees under the most humiliating circumstances possible. So the Iranians can say, we are strong and we are weak. And so if the Biden administration had been smart and they wanted to get back in the deal, they would have led into it with a position of strength, not a position of weakness.
And then this action, this bombing, yesterday we had reports that the people who were hit had nothing to do with the original attack on our contractors. So this doesn't improve our negotiating stance, does it?
Well, you know, they did some attacks, and then we attacked some people in Syria in the middle of the night, told the Russians first, who we knew we're going to tell the Iranians, who we knew we're going to tell the militias, right? So it was almost like somebody says, you have to go to detention, but that's okay because I'll leave the TV on while you're there. and then what do the Iranians do? Are they cowed by that? No, the militias attack again. And now what do? Crickets.
So by the end of a four-year Biden administration, what's your prediction? The Middle East, instead of an additional, a fifth or a sixth addition to the Abraham Accords, is it going to be a more dangerous place, Jim?
Well, I don't know. It is the region I worry about. We talked about this. I think they'll muddle through in Europe. Much of that has to do with, the Europeans aren't capable of doing more than muddling through, but we'll muddle through in Europe. They'll muddle through in the Asia Pacific. You know, we have the Quad. We've got a strategy. They can't back away from that. I think we'll be okay there. I worry that they'll screw up the Middle East the most. We were on the precipice of
big things.
Israelis and the Arabs working together, collective security, economic integration, a self-sustaining stability in the region. I worry about that. And I worry they're going to get their lunch eaten by the Chinese in Latin America and Africa because we're just not poised to compete there. So I'll give you a good example.
No, we're out of time. All right, we're going to save it till next week.
Man. I had a great story for you, too. Oh, next week.
Really
primo story.
We're going to keep you in suspenders on tenterhooks for 7 days. Can you stand it? In the meantime, follow this guy, JJ Carafano. And like I said, with his boss, K. James, he's had enough. He's leaving the studio. I've never had somebody walk out on me. He's annoyed, isn't he? But join the Heritage Foundation today. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, brought to you in part by Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone company in America, rated number one for customer service. Join today. You can keep your old number if you call them 972-PATRIOT. Their U.S.-based team are experts at bringing your account over. Amazing discounts, especially for first responders and veterans. If you use my name, go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA or call 972-PATRIOT. That number, 972-728-7468. That's patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Join the good guys. They're on your side. PatriotMobile.com/Gorka.
This is Second Amendment Friday on America First, brought to you by Carr Firearms.
Complacency is a weakness that patriots cannot afford. For this reason, Carr Firearms is teaming up with America First in 2021. Carr believes Americans shouldn't be afraid to publicly stand up for our freedoms This is about more than being gun enthusiasts. This has become a very personal issue, struggling for the soul of our nation. Carr wants America First listeners to know that they are not afraid to publicly support Second Amendment Friday. Check out their amazing line of U.S.-made handguns. I carry a 9mm Carr at KAHR.com. That's KAHR.com. And our Second Amendment, it's so cool. I'm on his show on Newsmax. But now he's my guest. He is Grant Stinchfield, Second Amendment warrior. Grant, welcome back to America First.
We got a great little team going.
We have fun, don't we?
We do. I mean, on the shows, your show, my show, I fill in for you. On your show, you're going to fill in for me next week on my show. I think, man, this is like the dream team to me.
One team. Team America. All right, buddy, let's talk Second Amendment. You are such a pro with all your background in the NRA and the Second Amendment. And you sent me a I don't do a lot of stories about Beverly Hills, especially not a store where Jackie Chan and Natalie Portman buy their luxury items. So tell us about this story about, I'm a watch guy. I love watches. I collect watches, but this is out of my price range. This is something called the Richard Mille Watch Company and a certain individual watch that costs $500,000. Why is this anything to do with the Second Amendment, Grant?
All right, so this story covers all angles that you and I hit on. So I had never heard of this watch, but it's $500,000. Well, in Beverly Hills, okay, two crooks drive up with guns. They know the guy, I believe, is there. They go to rob him of his $500,000 watch. They get in a scuffle. The guy grabs the gun from the would-be assailant. He starts firing and hits an innocent bystander, grazes her leg. And so you've got, one, self-protection. First off, if somebody has the drop on you, as we call, they've got the gun out, you don't have yours, just give them the watch, okay? Right. No life is worth $500,000. This gets into the idea of, though, should you be able to protect yourself in California? You can't. It's virtually impossible to carry in California these days. And guess what, though? It's come home to roost in Beverly Hills, Seb. They're let all the criminals out, let crime flourish. They all think, oh, well, that's just going to stay in Watts in the hood, right?
Right.
Well, now it's coming to Beverly Hills. So this story covers like every single issue.
But hang on, Grant, it's okay. Because the governor of California just said everybody needs to wear two masks.
That's right. Two masks will protect you. You just put two masks over your chest, too, to protect you from bullets.
Do you think do you think the robbers are going to wear two masks when they go to rob the jewelry stores?
No. They've been wearing masks before, it's making their life easier.
All right. I'm going to check those watches out. This titanium flywheel for $500,000. That's crazy. Okay. Tell us what you're experiencing. You have your feelers out. You know the Second Amendment community. I'm hearing contradictory reports that the craziness is still crazy in the markets. You can't buy ammo anywhere. Mm-hmm. Others have told me last week or two, things have slowed down a little bit when it comes to people buying firearms. What's the truth? What is Grant Stinchfield hearing?
So there's a whole bunch of factors, and I think the main factor here is you have millions of new gun owners.
Yes.
And guess what happens when you have millions of new gun owners? They've got to buy ammunition. That put a strain on the market. The government has been buying some of the ammunition. Don't believe the stories the government's buying up all the ammunition. From everyone that I've talked to at SIG and Hornady, that it's not the government buying up all the ammunition. It's the sheer fact that when you go into a store now, too, because now we know about this ammo shortage. Are you going to buy just one box?
No. Nope.
Are you going to buy as many boxes as you can? So it's like the toilet paper syndrome during the first outbreak of the China virus. Everyone was buying as much toilet paper as they could.
What is it about the toilet paper and the milk? I mean, I get the ammo and the firewood and the diesel, but I don't get the toilet paper and the milk, Grant.
I go back to the mainstream media just scaring everybody.
Okay.
Mainstream media scares everybody into thinking that you're going to run out of this stuff when you weren't, so everybody hoards it. Well, that's what's happening with ammunition as well. You add that to the new gun owners. And guess what? These new gun owners that are coming in, they're not just gunners. They're sticking their gun underneath the mattress. They're actually going to the range and practicing and using. They're engaged gun owners now. It's literally fabulous what has happened in the gun world. And, that's not getting any attention.
Let me ask you the question they always ask me. First gun you should buy, Grant?
Well, the gun that you are absolutely most comfortable with.
Bingo! Right answer.
It is.
And the one that you can shoot.
Absolutely.
Accurately.
They always say, what's the best home self-defense gun for your home? Whatever gun you feel most comfortable with,
Bingo.
That's the best gun.
For my wife, I think she likes the sound of the action. It's a nickel-plated Remington 870 pump action. She loves that Marine Master.
Do not listen to Joe Biden's advice. Do you remember when he said to Dr. Jill, just walk out on the porch, crack shotgun, fire off into the air?
Porch? Are you kidding me? He said balcony.
Balcony.
Because you've got a mansion with a balcony, of course.
So go out to an unknown number of assailants, fire at least one shot that's half your rounds now in your gun into the air. And it's the worst advice ever.
What are you carrying right now? Let me ask you. What's your favorite carry gun right now?
I always tell you, I carry my SIG P365. It's on my hip just Sexy about little everywhere
gun.
I go.
Sexy little gun.
Yep.
But I got to tell you, you got to check out Car Firearms as well. My little ankle buddy, little 9mm CM9. Good stuff all around. Last words for those of the listening audience who feel a little dejected of late. You are a fighter. That's why your name on Twitter is Stinchfield1776. What's your message, Grant, to those who feel a little bit down in the dumps?
So, you know, we always talk about it. Do not give up. America is such a great nation. We've got 2 years to get through. You keep fighting. We've got some protections in Congress with this, you know, 60 vote for at least most of the votes. I know, forget about the COVID-19 bill. But after that, know that you have power to change things. Look at what's happening in California with the recall of Gavin Newsom.
Yes.
That was because people were outraged. One guy said, let's recall the governor, and it happened. Never, ever give up.
Every American counts. Every vote counts, and Grant is right. Who would have thought Nancy Pelosi's nephew, Gruesome Newsom, could be recalled? They've exceeded the number. It's going on the ballot, and he's in big trouble. Whether he wants you to wear 2 masks, 3 masks, or 4 masks, Gruesome Newsom may be recalled. Follow this man on Twitter, Stinchfield1779, and check him out every night on Newsmax TV, The Stinchfield Show. Thank you, Grant. God bless. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. Just listen to Yvonne from California. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Just those words, pain-free. Shouldn't you find out if that could be you? Of course you should. It just makes sense. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. Be the next success story. Find out now. Order your 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Car Firearms.
People call here and now. Rush, you always told us. You told us when it's going to be time to panic. Well, is it time to panic? Well, let me just tell you, folks, it's never going to be time to panic. Because we're never going to give up. We're not going to give up on America. I'm not. I don't think most of you are either. America's worth it. America is worth fighting for. America's worth not giving up.
It's never time to panic. Never time to give up. Great Rush. God bless him. Got to play Jesse Waters again, doing what he does so well, summarizing what the current president is doing in the White House. Jesse Waters on Fox. Cut 6. Play cut.
In terms of Joe Biden, this is why they hide him. He comes out of his little basement, he calls millions of Americans Neanderthals, and then he calls the lid. I don't think he'll be able to win Texas if he runs for re-election now. I could see the ads. Joe calls you Neanderthals, and now he wants your vote. Uh-uh. And how does this help? I mean, at least when Trump was president, he'd send these governors PPE and vaccines and stimulus checks and hospital ships. What is Joe sending Texas besides COVID immigrants and insults?
Nothing. That's it. COVID immigrants and insults. That's what Biden's got for you if you're a Texan. Don has been waiting very patiently in Los Angeles. Thank you, Don, for your patience. Welcome.
Oh, Dr. G, great to be on with you. I'm calling from my cave. I like to think I'm not a Neanderthal. Maybe I'm at least Cro-Magnon.
As was pointed out to me yesterday by John Batchelor, you do know Neanderthals were very cultured. They were monogamous. They had art. So this insult isn't really an insult, Don.
Yeah, it's more than Joe Biden is. This withered homunculus who calls himself a man.
I think Neanderthals didn't need cheat sheets, Don.
Amen. You know, a good friend of mine from the Virgin Islands used to say Neanderthal. He always was very praiseworthy of the sturdy Neanderthal. So please count me in their company ahead of the Mr. The pretender, the usurper, the fraudster, Mr. Biden.
Neanderthal. That's my pronunciation, like it's South Africa. I think it's a German village or Dutch village where they found the
I like
source.
It. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. You know, what I was going to mention, Dr. G, real quickly, is you've been so gracious. You sent me so many of your wonderful books. If I could just hang on the line afterwards, I want to get the right address. I want to send you a couple of books, the martial art books, you know, the Drager books, and maybe something good. Because, hey, you know, if the Antifa goons are hanging on you and it makes it hard for you to get to your guns, it never hurts to have a little inspiration, you know.
A little bit of art of the empty hand. That's very, very kind, Don. That'll take me back. I actually have my old books from my judo days. They'll have pride of place in my library. So kind of you. Stay on the line, Don. We'll provide you an address. This is America First and the Salem Radio Network. In the next hour, an amazing new congressman, Byron Donalds, from the free state of Florida, and the great David P. Goldman.